Matthew 1:18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Well, I wonder this morning, and we've been thinking about what we expect. Are you expecting anything in this holiday season? I wonder this morning if we expect that the world will be a bit more religious during this season. Lots of Christmas activities, Christmas events, Christmas sounds, Christmas lights, and lots of religious things happening in this time of year. I wonder if we expect somehow that maybe we should be a bit more religious in this season of the year. Well, listen, this morning we continue thinking together about what we might be expecting as we move toward Christmas. I want us to think about why we can expect a lot of rejoicing rather than religion. Now that sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds good to me. I'd rather be about rejoicing. I'd rather be about experiencing some real joy than just some religion. So we're going to think about that, and we're going to start first this way. We rejoice because this is God's initiative. This is a God thing from the start. Religion is about people. Religion is about you, and it's about me, and it's about masses of people. Religion is about us trying to climb the steep ladder to heaven. That's what religion is. It's trying to make it with God. It's trying to climb the ladder to heaven. Religion is pressure to perform. Religion is very human. It's very natural. It's very costly. It's a burdensome thing. And I'm not sure we can ever be religious enough. And sometimes we get weary of trying. But the message and the reality of Christmas is not about religion. It's not about us climbing a ladder to heaven, but it's about God coming down to us. Religion is man-made and man-directed, while in contrast, Christmas is God's activity. It's God's action. It's God descending to us. And I want to mention three things right now that help us understand that this is a God-initiated activity. A God thing. In our text, in Matthew 1, we read about Messiah. Verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah, or Jesus the Christ, those can be interchanged. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. Now the prophets of old had told of, had looked for, had longed for God's action in setting up a king, a deliverer for his people, a Messiah, an anointed one who would rule his people, who would bring peace and victory and hope and joy. This would be God's doing, and they longed for it, and they waited for it, and prayed for it. One of the prophets was Isaiah. And we may recall these familiar words from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Messiah had Old Testament, long historical connections. The idea of Messiah, the promise of and the longing for Messiah are rooted in the Word and the promise of God. It all began long, long ago, way back in the Old Testament. But even before that, back in the eternal mind and the eternal plans of God that we can't. So we read in Titus 1:2, we read about the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And in 2 Timothy 1:9, we read, He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Doesn't sound like a whole lot of accomplishment and effort on our part is involved in that. If it began before we began, before the world began, then it's a God thing. It's a big thing. It's a massive thing. He set it in motion long ago. So we see that this is all a God-initiated thing. As we think about Messiah, it's the Messiah that has come. We see it too in the miracle involved in the conception of Mary's baby. Matthew 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1:20. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Verses 22 and 23, again the prophetic note here. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, obviously, but what Matthew writes of is not human effort. This is not a human involvement. It's not a human effort. So it's not received by some people. Some people don't accept the virgin birth because this is beyond their understanding. It's beyond their putting together. They cannot think and fathom how this can be. It's a God thing. It's God initiated. And then there's also the unique message to Joseph, who's engaged to young Mary. Verse 20. But after he had considered this, and that was about divorcing her, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So there's the message to Joseph. As we once again hear the accounts, may we be strongly reminded that this is about God taking the initiative and not about us doing something religious. Finding joy in God's action instead of laboring over religion can lead us to genuine, deep-felt celebration. Christmas is for rejoicing rather than trying to be more religious. I hope I can get that. I hope we can get that. I hope we can feel that and experience that this year. This is about rejoicing. This is not about being more religious. I love this verse, Psalm 31:6, out of the Message. I hate all this silly religion, but you, God, I trust. I'm leaping and singing in the circle of your love. I hate all this silly religion, but I love you, God. And when I'm thinking about you, and when I want to sing and I want to dance in the circle of your love. And then we can rejoice, secondly, because Christmas is about God coming to people. Everybody has a story. Fascinating, frustrating, wonderful, confusing, and it's into the human story and it's into our personal stories that God comes. God comes to real people, and none of them are perfect people. God comes to sinners and screw-ups like you and like me. In fact, He makes it known to us that that's why He has come. He comes because we can never climb the religious ladder to heaven. We can never make it. A lot of people try. All around the world, people are trying. And God, our loving Father, knows that we can't make it. God comes for people with real struggles and real issues. There's lots of heartache and stuff with real people. We can rejoice because the whole bit, the whole thing is God's idea, and He has put it all into motion, and because He sent His Son for real people like us. And then we rejoice because it really is God. It really is God who has come for people. Verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" The name Jesus means Yahweh saves. This is salvation that we must have if we are to have hope and if we are to have life eternal. It's the forgiveness of our sins. It's the daily saving we need to make it in this world. This comes from Jesus, whose very name means that it is Almighty God, it is Yahweh who saves us. God says that He gives us our daily bread. He gives us eternal life. He says that all things are possible in Him. He is the way. And the name Emmanuel, verse 22, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. God with us. Isn't that an amazing reality? Isn't that incredible? He has come to love you. He has come to forgive you. He has come to help you. He has come to give you joy. And it's what He is doing for us. He doesn't call you to religion. He calls you to Himself and to great, growing joy. Why don't you welcome Him? Why don't you say yes to Jesus?